Hi, folks. Remember us? Welcome to Open the Iris. I'm Rick, and with me is Ro. Hi.
What's going on? What are we doing? I'm sorry.
It's called a podcast. It's like an internet radio show.
A podcast. It's been so... it's February 2022. The last time we did this was, what, 2 years ago?
November-ish of 2021. Hasn't been quite that long. But
No, it feels like 2 years.
It does.
Thank you, listeners, for all of your patience. We hope you had a wonderful holiday. If you celebrate it, well, not just wonderful, we hope you had a kind...
Yes.
And patient and loving... Mm-hmm. A gentle holiday, because
I hope you're healthy and safe and warm or cool or whatever your standard of comfort is, may it be exceeded in your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think I got to stitch that on a pillow. I like that.
definitely. Or like some sort of
needlepoint.
Needlepoint, cross stitch. So yeah. So thank you, listeners. Like, we took a nice little vacation. We hope you guys are good, because you know what? We took the perfect time to take a vacation because of the episode we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. We're coming back with a bang. this is one of the best episodes of all of Stargate.
And if you remember, listeners, we were actually kind of talking about this episode, like, at the end of the last episode, which was, let me scroll, Desperate Measures, that was the name. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're talking, and I don't even remember what Desperate Measures is about, to be honest.
I don't either.
It's the Russians! It's the Russians in the truck! And they got a Gould,
Kappa,
and they took the Gould to put it in the old guy who in Seattle. Okay, now I remember.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, we were talking about at the end of
that. Is that the one where they captured Sam and... Yeah, they captured Sam, and then they were
trying to figure out, like, how does the Gould work when they got removed?
Right. Okay.
But yeah, we were talking about, like, essentially talking about this episode and how excited I was for it in general because of the title. But let's go ahead and get into that, Rick.
Okay. So, just right off the bat, this is the 100th episode of Stargate SG-1. So it aired in,
September.
Oh, I didn't change the title on that.
No, I was like, we haven't even given the title of this episode.
The title is Wormhole Extreme with season an X five. And a hyphen.
Yeah, X. Yeah, but season 5, episode 12.
Aired September 8th, 2001. This was the last episode of Stargate SG-1 to air before 9/11, before the world changed, or before our world changed.
Oh, wow, that's right.
IMDb rating of 8.0, which
is
very, very low.
It should be at least 9.5.
I know. written by Brad Wright, Joseph Malozzi, and Paul Mully. Directed by Peter DeLuise, which is not at all a surprise. So, previously on SG-1, remember Martin, the Nebuchadnezzar conspiracy theorist / alien from season 4, episode Point of No Return? Good, hold that thought. Space, and a really cool ship is breaking Martian orbit. At the SGC, Sam briefs the team that the Kepler Space Telescope spotted the ship, and oh, hang on, I'm wearing the wrong glasses. I can't read this shit. Nothing much has changed around here, folks.
No. We're just more calmer. We're just happier and calmer. That's all there is to it.
So. At the SGC, Sam briefs the team that the Kepler Space Telescope spotted the ship, and it has a remarkably familiar energy signature. It matches Martin's pod that he said they used to come to Earth from their mothership, and this ship will reach the Earth in 3 days. Teal'c says they'd better find Martin Lloyd immediately. Cut to a very fake-looking alien world. Flames burst all around, and a team of 4 people in remarkably clean, camo-ish uniforms run, jump, and somersault into view. There's something oddly familiar about the team, and they shout heroic lines and technobabble till a strobe light flashes and a voice makes machine gun noises as the team gets quote-unquote riddled with weapons fire. They all fall to the ground, and a voice yells, "Cut!" The camera pulls back and we see Martin complaining to the director that the scene was awful, but the director loved it and yells, "Print everything!" as they walk through what is clearly a badly rendered version of the Stargate. As the camera pulls back, we see that it's a soundstage and the set of a TV show. Roll credits. In the briefing room, SG-1 and General Hammond are watching the opening credits of Wormhole Extreme, an incredibly cheesy made-for-cable TV show that is totally based on Colonel O'Neill and his team. Martin Lloyd is the one who sold the idea to the studio and works as a creative consultant on the show. Teal'c says that Martin has breached their security, but Jack and Hammond explain that the Air Force let the show be made, so if that there ever is a security leak, they can just point to this ridiculous show and claim that somebody is just quoting that show. Jack points out that Marty still sold them out, but Hammond doesn't really care about that. What he does care about is the inbound spaceship. Jack is now Wormhole Extreme's new Air Force consultant, and he is to find out whatever Martin knows about that ship. Jack seems less than thrilled with his assignment. On the lot, the director is complaining that he wants bigger explosions as Jack walks up to a man and a woman both talking into headsets. Jack asks them where he can find Martin, and they direct him to the trailers. Martin comes out of his trailer, and a green-painted woman in a very low-cut dress comes up to him, and he approves of the look. Then a guy with a bowl of fruit walks by, and Martin gives him an earful because the fruit looks normal and orders him to get some weird-looking fruit. Jack approaches and says hi, like they're old buddies, but Martin doesn't recognize him. It becomes quite clear that Martin has lost his memory again. Martin has to go to a meeting, but he tells Jack to come back tomorrow and he'll give him the full tour. After Marty leaves, Jack goes into his trailer for a look around. He calls Hammond and the team and tells them that Martin doesn't remember anything about the events of last year or that he's an alien. Daniel assumes that Dr. Tanner, Martin's fellow alien and former amnesia maker, must have gotten to Martin again. Jack says there aren't any drugs in the trailer, but there are a lot of vitamins. Hammond orders Jack to send them in for analysis and to keep his eyes open. He then orders the rest of the team to leave in 1 hour to back Jack up. I'm not going any further with this synopsis, folks, because the story, the basic plot of this episode is standard, by the numbers, SG-1, and pretty much a rehash of the original episode. So they find out, you know, they chase Marty around, who doesn't know what's going on. They chase down the other aliens and get misdirected to a showdown with the NID. And then it turns out that the other aliens weren't brainwashing Marty again. He did it to himself because he didn't want to go back because their planet was ruined. But they all have to leave the planet, and they're trying to get this device that Martin had. And when they get it, their ship comes down in the middle of the chute, and they all beam away, and everyone lives happily ever after. And it's really kind of stupid.
Well, no, Martin stays. Martin stays.
Well, yeah, Marty stays.
He wants to still be in the showbiz, like in the, you know, creating TV shows.
Mm-hmm. But as you may have noticed, okay, as I started trying to relate what happens in between the quote unquote plot, it's like trying to explain jokes. It doesn't work. It just seems dumb when you try to explain it. This episode is
full of visuals.
But a series of in-jokes, yeah.
And visual gags.
And visual gags and TV jokes and stuff. And you just have to watch it. In fact, the trivia for – you know, usually when you look up the trivia for an episode of SG-1, there's, you know, maybe six entries. And three of them are repeats that other people just kind of went, oh, I didn't – you know, they didn't see that somebody else already mentioned it. There's like two pages of things for this episode because – everybody in the background is somebody from the show. Hang on, let me go to the trivia.
Yeah, on IMDb or the
I checked all of the different sites to see if there mm-hmm. was any significantly, you know, more in-depth mm-hmm. stuff, and IMDb had the best.
Okay, let me go look.
The whole line. Well, first of all, the director is Peter DeLuise.
Yeah. Oh my god. I was just like, okay. And the guy who freaking plays, what you call it, the one guy, like the
Colonel Danning.
That's the brother. I was like, oh, that's
Michael DeLuise. Yeah.
I was like, the guy from Encino Man. Like, that's pretty much your only remember him from as the guy from Encino Man. Or, oh, actually, he was in Gilmore Girls as TJ. I never watched Gilmore Girls, but apparently he was a hot guy in Gilmore Girls, I guess. So good for him. But yeah. I mean, they look so identical. Like, you could just see them in each other. But no, I was just so excited. It's like, oh my God.
We've had all three DeLuise boys on the show, because Peter DeLuise, you know, he directed like 57 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Dom DeLuise, their dad, mm-hmm. was Ergo.
Yes.
Oh, and now we got Michael DeLuise in there as Colonel Danning.
See, and I actually remember Ergo, but I can't remember anything else, like other things, like about, because like, we'll talk about that later when we talk about the Crystal Skull, so keep going.
Yeah, I didn't remember. Now I remember the Crystal Skull thing. Yeah, because it was a really kind of cheesy episode.
I don't remember the episode at all.
I don't remember it at all. Well, we've now watched 100 episodes, so...
Oh my God.
And the thing about the, does it say Colonel anywhere on my, or no, the whole, it does say Colonel on my uniform.
Yeah.
That was a reference back to a previous episode where everybody was ignoring Jack. And he's like, doesn't it say Colonel on my uniform somewhere?
Yeah. We're just going all over the place. This is.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like when you talk about a comedy, which this episode is totally a comedy, you know, there are guns pointed at people, but nobody ever seems like they're going to shoot anyone. Nothing seems sinister. It's all just silly. And it's all a complete piss take of the show.
Yes, which is wonderful. So again, remember, listeners, on the previous episode, I was like, oh my God, I'm kind of sad that I wasn't doing the synopsis. But at the same time, it's like, I'm excited to talk about this episode because just the title, it had an X in it. It has an X in it. X, the letter X. So
if you remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, everything was extreme.
So yeah, it's hilarious and wonderful nostalgia of that time. And it couldn't have come during a more perfect time in general. But when I first watched this episode, I was like, okay, this is going to be a fun episode. I'm just chill. Let me, you know. And those opening credits started. And when I realized it was a parody of the show, and seeing Wormhole Extreme opening, when they were just all jumping into the air from Stargate, from the show's version of the Stargate with the pink neon lights, yeah. Replacing the chevrons, I was just like, I am here for this. Thank you for blessing me with this episode. Because, oh my God, this is so wonderful. And I think I try to think about it because, you know, this movie, the show is over 20 years old. And, like, how would I have taken this episode back then versus today? Like, you know, changes and differences. I mean, of course, CGI, whatever, and all that stuff. It's different, you know, just how shows have evolved in regards to what they try to cater to, whatever, the current demographic at the time. But I don't know if I'd like this. I think it'd be like, oh, this is a silly episode, whatever. But I enjoyed this episode so much. And just that beginning alone just made me smile. And I was just full of joy and just laughing. And it just made my day. So, yeah. So, love this episode.
Trying to find his name. Herbert Duncanson, who played Grell, the robot, the Teal'c analog in the show, was Christopher Judge's stunt double.
Yeah. And I... They did such a good job portraying each of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I was the Teal'c one would just kept cracking me up with the no talking, with the talk, doing the eyebrows, and I was just like, they really made him to a robot. That's totally plausible. I mean, you can just tell that this show, I mean, season 5, and you know, Peter DeLuise is still at the helm along with the writers. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying the names, but just they put you can see the love and enjoyment in this episode. And it's definitely just a treat for the fans, treat for the people who worked it. And it's just, I hope everyone who was involved in this episode or just the main people really enjoyed this episode because as a fan, I loved it. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pretty much the entire crew was on camera at some point. Mm-hmm. In fact, the guy who tried to get a donut from Teal'c at the craft services table, that was Joe Malozzi.
Yeah, I should look up these people's pictures. It's like you could tell how they were filming it. Like, these people are essential characters of some sort. It's like, once you just saw Peter DeLuise, I was just like, okay, let's go here. I'm sure there's gonna be some other people that are part of the show that I'm not aware of, but yeah. But
Well, one of my favorite lines in the show is one of the more inside jokes of the thing. Martin says, well, they're in a car driving somewhere, and he says the real money is in syndication. And the whole back then, I'm not sure what the atmosphere is like now, but back then, you know, shows didn't make money on their first run. They made money when they were sold to in syndication to the smaller, you know, out to the wider market. And it was kind of common wisdom that a show needed a minimum of 100 episodes to be profitable in syndication. So this being the 100th episode and then putting in the line, the real money's in syndication, was like this double inside joke.
Lovely. There. You gotta love, see, I mean, yeah, I don't get that, but I love that that's a thing and the inside joke, because like I get that all the time, like, you know, whatever you're into, and those extra little tiny little things they add just a tiny bit of flavor, like, you know, they're inconsequential to the regular person, but if you are a fan of something or you know something, like it's like a fine wine, you know, like that fine extra little topping of or seasoning that just makes it just so delicious.
There was one thing, the conversation where the Sam analog, I forget the actress's name offhand, where she's talking about, I'm out of phase and I can walk through walls and stuff, but why don't I fall through the floor? And we had that discussion. There was an episode where Daniel was out of phase.
That was for Crystal Skull. That's the thing.
Crystal Skull. Okay, yeah.
That's the Crystal Skull thing. And
That's right, yeah.
I don't remember the episode, so now go back and be like, oh, okay. Because, yeah, he can go to the floor, like go through the floor or something.
But there was also a Star Trek The Next Generation episode called the Next Phase, where Geordi and Ro were out of phase and no one could see them. And they could walk through walls and people.
I remember
and stuff,
the episode.
But they didn't go through the floor.
How does that work? It's just like, how did, like, just like the prop guy, you guys all speak English? He's like, yeah. Apples.
Well, and apparently the whole get some kiwis and paint them red, they did that on a previous episode called I just had it. Damn it.
I can't see it. It's on the IMDb page, I can tell you that.
Beneath the Surface, which okay. I don't remember what that episode was, but
I don't remember, so
they were just eating kiwis that were
picked. They're obviously underground, so that's all that is. But no, my favorite quote of the episode was in the beginning when they were in the command center. In the command room, watching the episode, the trailer for Wormhole Extreme, and like introducing, and then, you know, and they show, and whenever they show whoever like is playing that character, they show the actual person. So like Raymond Gunn as Dr. Levant, you know, who's playing Dr. Jackson, and Daniel Jackson, and he's like, "Damn it, Colonel! Just because they're aliens and they're they have transparent skulls doesn't mean they don't have rights." And the look to Dr. Jackson. I had to pause it. I had to go use the bathroom because I probably would have peed my pants. And I was like, there were some tears happening, and just they did a really good job, man. But no, the brother, was it Michael DeLuise? Michael, yeah. He was fun too in the episode, just like just stupid as hell.
I loved how all of the women he was hitting on were all at least 6 inches taller than him.
Okay, so I watched this on Netflix. Like, normally I have this on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So do they? Okay, I'm not sure. Like, is it purposeful to have the funny extras at the end?
That was part of the episode, and that was all improvised.
Okay.
None of that was scripted.
Okay, that was great. I was just like, this is good stuff. Let's keep doing this. Again, this is a treat. Easily atop of the Stargates. And, you know, and I think, you know, like, this is, like, completely cheesy in a lot of just syndicated, but just shows in general that have lots of episodes and seasons, at least over 100 or so, they always have that cheesy, well, not, like, on top of having, like, the cheesy, like, recap ones, like, well, let's, like, talk about all the seasons and all the episodes. They always have, like, a fun, silly one where they don't take themselves seriously. And a lot of people don't like those episodes. Like, I, you know, the criticism on the wall, you know, there are some fair, valid criticisms, but at the same time, I just think people rag on them too much just to rag mm-hmm. and not just appreciate that the creators are having fun. And that's something that, I don't think people really think about that too much. Just, you know, you were enjoying their creations and they're having fun with it. I mean, they're probably having fun in general creating it, but at the same time, like, they get to have extra fun, and we should appreciate that they're loving what they do and then they're showing up that love. So it just, those, I mean, that's how I see them now. And it just makes me appreciate those sorts of things more. I don't know. Just.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Cause you know, a lot of shows take themselves so seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, as a Star Trek fan, I am well acquainted with the side of fandom that has absolutely no sense of humor. And, mm-hmm. you know, every now and then Star Trek will just pull a silly episode out and most of us dig it. But then there's going to be that, you know, why are this is stupid. You know, and it's Tribbles, folks. Shut up. it's fun.
I mean, it's valid. Like, if you don't like it, you can say it wasn't for me and then move on. Cause like, this is how I am now. Like, this pandemic has taught me so, like, I mean, I hope it's taught everyone things, but just self-reflecting in regards to having hateful energy on not liking things. I've pretty much decided I'm really trying my hardest in pretty much just, if I don't like something, I'll say it's not for me and just move on. I won't make any other comment on it. I might like a tweet for someone's criticism on it, but I'm not going to like put anything negative. If people are enjoying something that doesn't hurt anybody, good on them. And let me go ahead and concentrate my efforts on something else. And that honestly, that has changed a lot of ways, I think, and just makes me feel overall better and positive and not because, ooh, today's existence.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like people who like lose their mind over how somebody else eats something, you know. Mm-hmm. You cook your steak? What the hell is wrong with you?
No, there's something wrong there, I'm not gonna lie. If you enjoy it, cool, but still you're heathen. But well, it's kind of like the last it's kind of like Boba Fett. Have you seen
I have very mixed feelings about the show.
I haven't fully read all your Facebook posts on it because, like, I'm rarely on Facebook because I'm just like, ugh, that's so much effort. and I've been reading a lot of the criticisms about, especially the last episode and, like, that whole spin thing. And I was laughing at the spin thing. And I could not stop laughing because I knew it was hilariously corny and purposeful. And this was Robert Rodriguez. And I was just like, yes.
The spin thing?
Okay, spoiler guys, about Boba Fett. So, so during the fight, that one tech guy, the black tech guy, he does a spin move to shoot the laser. He didn't need to do the spin at all. It was absolutely unnecessary, and it looked hilariously cheesy during the episode. You'll if you ever watched.
Oh, I didn't even notice it.
Did a spin move to like shoot. It's people that like Star Wars bros, like SWBs, like we're so mad and angry. Jeez. and like people, I was just enjoying it. You know, we are getting so much media of nostalgic things that we love. I'm not complaining because we're getting it, and we're getting it at high quality production levels with mm-hmm. good acting. And, you know, just, you may not like the storyline, but then you don't like the storyline because, honestly, whatever. There's tons of other stuff you can enjoy. But, yeah.
I didn't dislike the series, but I enjoyed it.
It was a good Mandalorian 2.5.
Exactly. Wow. That was the thing. You know, the Boba Fett parts had some real pacing issues. But then when they turned it into Mandalorian, it got really good again.
So. That was fine. I didn't have any problems with the pacing. I loved it. And I loved the fucking Tusken Raider thing.
I did too. And this is a huge spoiler, folks. If you haven't seen all of the Book of Boba Fett.
Uh-oh. Emergency alert. Kidnapped child in Hillsborough County. I'm not in Hillsborough County. Okay. Got it.
I'm not getting that because I'm clear across the nation.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the country. okay, this is a huge spoiler, folks. So if you haven't seen Book of Boba Fett, put your fingers in your ears or fast forward about 30 seconds or so. I'm not going to go on in depth because I don't need to because Ro's seen it. So you'll know what I'm talking about. When they fridged the whole goddamn tribe, that pissed me off.
Oh, yeah, that, I was so mad. I was so fucking pissed. But at the same time, I don't know. It made me very sad. And I just wish there could have been remnants of them. I mean, there could still be. In another,
there could still be, yeah. But I thought it was a cheap thing to do. It was, there was no, you know, he was already pissed off. He didn't need that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, the dances with sand people, I enjoyed it. it just, you know, it and yeah, this, I could say I'll cut it out, but you know I won't. it just, I wish they had either went with now or just did the first season be him getting out of the Sarlacc and the whole Tusken thing. The kind of the flashback thing just made it drag out into an info dump.
I can understand that, but at the same time, like, I would not have wanted to watch that Tusken, the Sarlacc thing for more than we already seen it with, because I'm claustrophobic, so that was like, I'm like, get out of there. Sooner than later, we'll see this. But yeah, okay, let's get back to this.
Okay, let's I'll tell you what who the cameos were, because most of them are not faces you would recognize. So we got. Mm-hmm. Joseph Malozzi was the guy with the donuts, and the dude behind him was producer N. John Smith. Mm-hmm. The two guys at the end that were like, you know, talking, hey, you know, look, maybe we can go get in 18 holes, and is this a good time for a fade out? That was executive producer Michael Greenberg and executive producer Brad Wright.
Okay.
I don't think, apparently Glasner wasn't in this one. I don't know where he was.
Who was the guy who, like, won? He said, like, I won an award or whatever, and was talking about that dog show. Like, he was, like, some sort of, I don't know who he was.
I think he was, one of the writers. Okay, that's one that isn't, on the IMDb. Hang on, let me find it.
Okay, sorry, I'm just like... Like, studio executive? Was that Ben Ratner?
I think so. I think so, yes.
Okay, let me look at the picture. Yes, I think it could have been. Yeah, it is. I think it's him. Yeah.
Cool. Hang on. The trivia is, like, spread out over three different websites. Mm-hmm. So, I know one of them, let's see. Makeup artist Jan Newman is the makeup artist. Director Andy Makita and producer John G. Lennick are the characters being beaten up by Colonel Danning. Stargate SG-1 director Martin Wood is as one of the NID agents. Mm-hmm. The Michael Greenberg, the two guys at the end, Michael Greenberg and Brad Wright. The scene where the producer boasts getting a Cable Ace Award, the producer walks out exclaiming, make it go. That was just a takeoff on Make It So. So it doesn't, I guess he wasn't anybody. This I thought was really funny. You know how he talks about the talking dog that solves crime show, Puchinsky? That was a real TV pilot that was never launched, about a detective who was turned into a dog. And Sally Ray, who was in the creature art department on Stargate, was one of the puppeteers for Puchinsky. So that was actually a show that a pilot was made and it was never picked up.
Oh, how fun. Inserting your art into something that is still not, I mean, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would be doing stuff like this. Like, I mean, I do like that stuff at work in general. I can't really do it too much at work, but like small, like little, like whenever like I send emails or messages to people, like sometimes, like, you know, if we're cool, I'll send you like those little inside jokes, like adding those little things. Again, it's like so cool. I just love little extras like that. So, you know.
Well, like when Jack was talking to the woman in the guard shack, and he said, like the uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was their season one uniform, except it was blue with no insignias on.
Oh, that's right. I was like, this is like that. I was like, this outfit looks really weird, but okay, I know this is significant, but I can't put my finger on it. Let's go ahead and continue. But yeah, okay, we should also just give a shout out, because actually we were talking about we actually talked about this, because like I know that we were going to talk about Wormhole Extreme like last year, but that guy Willie Garson, like, you know, he passed last year, so
yeah
That was very sad. So, you know, I've mainly known him as Stanford Blatch in Sex and the City. So, you know, rest in peace. I hope he, you know, his loved ones are okay and, you know, healing.
And we will see him once more on Stargate.
Yeah, I kind of saw that. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is great. Let's just keep on just having fun with this. So, you know, so now we know that NID is still out and about, and they obviously, I don't know what's going to happen with NID. Like, I don't think we're going to see the same people again for NID. So,
oh, there's still NID fun to come.
Oh, I know there is. It's just like, who's the big baddie at NID now? So,
I don't know.
I think that's what we're going to find out. And yeah. I mean, I don't even know what happens in the next episode because, of course, we don't get any clues for anything. So.
Well, and, you know, in putting things in the historical context, there is, the funny thing is this aired apparently like right after Desperate Measures.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a 6 month break because of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because it says the next one aired March. No, this says Proving Ground. It says it aired March. Oh yeah, March 8th, 2002. You're right. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, you know, September 11 put, nobody wanted to do anything frivolous for a long time. You know, I remember watching The Daily Show and, you know, the night after when Jon Stewart came on and he's like, we didn't want to do a show, but we didn't think we shouldn't either. But we're not, you know, we couldn't come on and be funny. I don't remember what he said. I just know I was in tears by the end of it. And so was he. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it took a while before Colbert came back. You know, and then
I don't remember that at all. God,
it was a rough time, and you know, on the one hand, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on both hands, it was terrible. But on the other hand, you know, the U.S. was kind of the only place that hadn't happened yet, and so. You know, we got brought into the rest of the world in a big, ugly, bloody way.
And even then, not as much.
No, yeah.
Even then, not near as much. We are a very privileged country and you know, anyone who's listening to this that doesn't, who's non-American, understand that we understand that we're shit and our country is shit. But as an American, you know, I can only do so much, and I'm doing my very best to vote and try to continue to fight for these freedoms and things like that. But we know that our country is founded on a lot of shit. We have a lot of, not necessarily main leaders, like other leaders, such as the GOP, who want to continue turning this into shit, but we won't talk about that. But no,
we're trying.
In retrospect, in regards to this specific episode, yeah, just I didn't think about that. Like, wow, I'm looking at it, that everything. I don't remember any of that being on pause. So it's interesting that, you know, when we reflect on these things, like, when did this air? How did, like, what was this? What were the styles and things happening at the time? And, you know, what parts of these episodes can still hold up and can't hold up anymore? And for most part, this episode holds up fully. Like, I think they probably add a little bit more funny things and more up-to-date jokes and stuff. But for most part, like, this episode pans for today, like maybe some better graphics, but other than that,
well, I even think I thought the ship was gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, the CG for the ship was beautiful. And all the effects for Wormhole Extreme were, you know, purposely cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the scene where they're just throwing styrofoam rocks at the guy that was the Jackson character.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my arm. But still, no, again, the best part, though, is them just jumping from the Stargate, leaping for no reason. That's with every other introduction. I was just like, what's this from? Who thought this was smart? But this, at the same time, it's like, this is so purposeful and lovely, but at the same time, you know that there is someone out there that would do this and think it's serious, and think it's the most amazing thing in the world. And you have to love them to bless their heart, but at the same time be like, no. Oh, you sweet summer child.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? And right. I don't know the timelines. I'm pretty sure this predated Supernatural by quite a bit. But Supernatural did more than one show in this sort of vein where they just totally stepped out away from themselves and made fun of the show. In a fun, irreverent sort of way.
That's cool.
Have you ever watched Supernatural?
No, I honestly, there's apparently something, you know, a popular gay thing or, I don't know, some fandom thing.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, yeah.
That's all I know is, like, because I just saw Twitter. It's like, and, like, they have, like, really unique names, too. So, I don't know. It's just, I never got into it, and I don't think I'll probably ever get into it because there's so many good things out there that I'd rather watch and just, or rewatch. So, yeah. But I know, I appreciate that the fandom loves it, and, like, they're doing, and then, like, I remember just the fandom in general losing their shit. Like, oh, my God. Like, it's like, is it, like, Destain or something like that? What are they?
Castiel,
that's right.
Yeah.
Castiel. Yeah.
I've never like sat down and purposefully watched an episode of Supernatural, but my wife was big into it for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I would be in the room while she was watching it.
Mm.
So I've sort of, you know, secondhand smoked it. and I mean, it's a lot of fun, but you know, there's like, I think 10 seasons of it. So there's a lot of it there.
See, I'm doing RuPaul's Drag Race, and that's more than enough for me right now. So I'm good. And other shows. But no, I would like to have more episodes like this, but I know that we won't. And that's okay. And I know that we'll have more funny episodes of SG-1, but this is definitely a fun way to start the podcast content, mm-hmm. as well as just a fun one to come back to. And, you know, after five seasons, like, well, we're on season five just of mostly serious things. And at the same time, like General Hammond said, you know, that's plausible deniability. You know,
yeah.
They can totally blame us. They don't have to worry about secrets or anything. They can just use that show because, like, you know, because, like, and, like, this was, like, in the extras or the trivia. Like, this is essentially, like, a nod to Firefly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though the creator of Firefly is a piece of shit. So, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, we did not know that then, but it's not like I can still enjoy this, those things for what they are, but the creator's still a piece of shit. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you know, if you're listening to this in the far future or whatever, you know, the only thing I can say is at least he's not a rapist. He's just an asshole. Which is the kind of the state of you know, lately whenever I see somebody whose work I really like as a headline, I'm like, oh God. And then it's like, oh, it's their birthday. Oh, okay, thank Christ.
Yes. It's that whole Denzel Washington gif of like breathing in like a sigh of relief. That's pretty much what that is. But no.
Well, it's like just one last tangent here. Yeah. Last week or 2 weeks ago, John Williams, the composer who did Star Wars and Jaws and Raiders of the Lost Ark and Harry Potter, blah, 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 announced he was retiring. Oh. And this was right after Betty White had died and you know, a couple other people had died. And a friend of mine posted on our Slack, just John Williams and it was a good run. And I'm like, oh no. And I go to the story and it's just, he's retiring. And I'm like, dude, you got to start all stories like this with not dead. He had a good run.
They do that on purpose, man. It's not cool.
Yeah.
Watch this episode. Wormhole Extreme listeners, let us know what you think.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to apologize for the sketchy synopsis because just watch the episode. The story is totally backseat to what's the best part of what this episode is about. You know, this episode is about the fun piss take of the entire show and just everybody on the show having a good time with their 100th episode.
Indeed.
So let us know what you think. As Rose said, if you listen to our closing credits, I'll tell you how to get in touch with us. If you are so inclined. Also, if you would like to be on the show, pick an episode, send us an email. The only price for admission is that you write the synopsis.
Because we're lazy.
Yeah. And next time is Proving Ground.
Yes.
Which I'm looking at the picture for IMDb, and I'm like, I thought we did this one already. But
I have no idea.
Just the the faces look really familiar, but maybe I watched this one for another reason fairly recently. But Ro, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
As always, a pleasure talking with you about this wonderful series, Rick.
Yay! And folks out there, thank you for your patience. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, and we will be back in a couple of weeks with the next episode. So until then, stay extreme!
Extreme!
Close the iris. I almost forgot to say that.
No, I was like, don't forget to say it.
Open the Iris is a production of the Infinite Potato Alliance. If you'd like to reach us, send an email to the7thchevron@gmail.com. That's T-H-E-7-T-H-C-H-E-V-R-O-N. Or on Twitter at Open the Iris. Our theme is by Stephen Cogswell, and you can find more of his music at stephencogswell.bandcamp.com. And our logo is by Brandon Ushio of the Fandom Podcast.